and then begin with Q&A, or would you just like to directly go into Q&A?
Yeah, maybe, you know, I think even Jayesh Gandhi has joined. Yeah, probably some brief background will help, sir. I mean, you know, I think we have interacted once before the IPO. We also owners, I mean, in the stock. I mean, so maybe, you know, some kind of refresh in terms of, you know, your offerings, especially on the, you know, the key services, right? The map, the software, the platform, the revenue model. And we have seen your results and all. We've also seen order book. Maybe some refresh will help, yeah.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. I'm Rakesh Verma. Well, for refreshing your memory and refreshing the context, to help you on both, help you both ways, let me say things now differently. As we all know, change is a constant thing. So MapMyIndia also has been going through changes. And the changes are in a way that we want to stay, always be consistent with what we do. We don't bring, want to bring surprises. And the consistent growth, whether it is high growth or mid-level growth, is the way we have always strategized in the past, and we continue that strategy. Now, to understand the business in a very simple way, again, we are a B2B and a B2B2C. We are in that business. That's fine. That is the market we are addressing. The market we are addressing is the corporate, government, automotive, and retail. These are the four markets we are addressing with three technology pillars that we have. The three technology pillars we have are the map, the IoT, and now we have added drone into that. So the products and platform that come out of these three technology pillars address those four markets and generate the growth. We to give you some comfort that our team, the technology team, which is responsible for the maps, the IoT, and the drone, are led by very, very strong leaders, technology leaders. Similarly, the business leaders on the corporate, government, automotive, and retail are equally performing. So I see, from my level, I see very clearly a strong traction, which is leading to the continuous growth in a healthy manner. Why I'm using the word healthy manner? Because in our kind of business, or in a B2B, B2B2C kind of a business, where new technology adoption, while it is a continuous process, we can, the healthy means that we should remain consistent with that, so that our existing customers continue getting more value for the money they are spending. That fends off the emerging competition, or it kills some competition, either way. While the new technology that we keep bringing up also gives an opportunity for the existing customer to adopt, and what we call it as upsell. In the same technology that we have, but there are a large number of customers who still may not have adopted the technology in general, or might have adopted somebody else's technology. We try to cross-sell them by convincing them that ours is a better platform and product. So that's the overall view of how, what is our business strategy, and how we are shaping up for the future.
Sure. I just want to understand. So when I look at your kind of, you know, your offerings, you have map as a service, then you have software and platform. Now, map as a service probably seems fairly, understandable in a sense. I mean, there's a database, that's the core of the thing, right? I mean, but when you refer to platform as a service, what exactly are we trying to trying to offer here? I mean, like, or software as a service here.
A little while ago, she was asking me, she has heard from many startups that they like our tech, everything, but they don't find that we offer free credits. And to that, I answered her saying, look, we also give free credits. Maybe there's a lack of messaging from our side, which is a good feedback. We'll try to correct. So what is this? What these guys are asking about free credits? That's the part of the platform as a service. When the platform as a service, simple way is we offer our APIs and SDKs for other developers. When I say other developers could be working within PhonePe also, or other developers could be developers who do work or developmental work for any number of companies, independent software developers. So that's where the platform as a service comes up, whether it is an API or an SDK. And as the tech, the emerging tech companies who are bringing out new apps, they need to integrate our APIs SDK, and that's a example of a platform as a service. Like, if you want to know very specific one example, when Cowin app was supposed to be launched, then the Cowin, which was launched by the government of India, and they wanted the map features to be there to find the nearest vaccination centers. So for that, all that they used was our platform as a service, where they integrated our APIs and SDK within hours.
Right. Yeah. So in terms of the revenue model, for example, if I look at map as a service and the other segments, I mean, how would that differ, or what is the revenue model that you use? I mean, in the auto OEMs case and cases of, platform as a service.
It could be also software as a service.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So software as a service comes when I give the full application. Okay. Meaning thereby the end user is able to use the application ready. Navigation is an example of that. Or in IoT, when a tracking application, as an example, I'm giving, there are many applications, or a workmate, which is the field force management, these are examples of software as a service, because I'm giving the end solution to a customer. Platform as a service, I'm giving the intermediary as a service. And map as a service, when I'm giving it, I'm giving my core map data as a service.
Sure. Now I'm just thinking, like, for example, Swiggy or any like logistics company. Okay, right. I mean, if they want to kind of, look at their supply chain or where their trucks are, they will clearly require the map. And if these companies have their own developers, they will integrate with your APIs, right? And use it to their benefit, right? I mean, so in that kind of environment, how will you monetize the product or whatever? Like, what is it, a one-time thing? Is it like
platform as a service typically comes as transaction based. Every transaction they pay the money. That means every time Cowin app or a PhonePe app pulls out a location element, then for that particular transaction, they pay us X amount of money.
Sure. So this sounds more like a B2C, though it is a B2B for you, but the transaction is from the end consumer, right? I mean, the cases. Yeah. Yeah. So we
call it B2B2C.
Yeah, B2B2C. Yeah. So in that kind of scenario, I mean, So whenever the consumer uses this, the B2B guy is supposed to pay you on a per transaction basis, right? I mean, that's the
right.
And how is it? Is it a large part of your offering today from a revenue perspective? How large will these segments be? I mean, like software and the platform?
No, see, it's pretty well diversified. The platform as a service, or the software as a service, or map as a service. See, if you think about it, they are at the different levels of value chain. Just like you think of iron ore, and then you move up in the value chain with some steel, and then some specialized product of steel. Similarly, map as a core, then you move up in the value chain with, I'm talking about map. This is the map, the map platform I'm talking about. We have other platforms too. And I'm talking about the map pillar. So the map pillar initially has the maps, core map, which is produced through a bunch of technologies which we have to use to keep it current, ready to use, and real time. In that value chain, when we move up with the another platform, whereby we throw the APIs and SDKs, where some other developer is building this application, and like PhonePe has built its application, and they integrate, that's the next level. So that's the second level. On top of that API, if I build my navigation software, which is the end user is using only, I'm doing the selling through the B2B, then that's the software as a service. So really, it doesn't matter to us which level they are in, because when we price it, we see, make sure that either of the three levels gives us the proper margin. The advantage of having the top one software as a service, I have the end customer in my more in my control. Vis-a-vis API, I don't have the end customer so much in my control, and map as a service is the least.
Okay, sure. And the way you classify your revenues today, I mean, you know, one is on the OEM side, which I believe is largely volume based, kind of from an order book and revenue perspective. Second is the fixed is more on this segment, is it? I mean,
fixed or transaction based, either one of them.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, and could you talk on the overall automotive side? I mean, you know, how is it shaping up? Because, you know, at least there is some hope about, you know, volume recovery. So where are you in terms of, you know, new signages, from a client perspective, or visibility of volumes for you? I mean, any update here?
Well, you know, last fiscal year, 1.3 million vehicles, four-wheeler, two-wheelers together, penetration had happened for the navigation. Previous to that year, it was 1 million. Now the increase in this penetration has happened for both the factors. One is some recovery of the automotive OEMs production, and the second is also because of our getting hold of some new customers. Like we had mentioned in the past, we had Bajaj Auto, Ola, then this Skoda. These were some of the examples of the new acquisition we made.
Right, yeah, right, okay. And what about clients like your Maruti and, you know, Hyundai and all? I mean, like, or like M&M, some of the new models, any entry there in terms of some of the new age models and all?
Maruti, Hyundai, Kia, we are already there. Mahindra, we are already there. Okay. MG Motors, we are already there. I talk about some new ones that we acquired. The volume makers in the OEM, we have been already there. These are the ones we acquired were the lesser volume makers like Skoda. But in two-wheelers, we are making a good entry. We are making a good entry. And now we have three or four, I guess, four two-wheelers under our I mean, we have four of them now.
Okay, and even for two wheelers, the offering is the entire navigation system, is it? I mean, the
It's slightly different. The formats is slightly different, but yeah, fundamentally it's the one a kind of navigation only.
Sure, sure. And over here also, I mean, if I understand, it is well, you said this is on a per volume basis, number of models they ship overall. But you get a certain, like a base level or a minimum guarantee kind of number. I mean,
when you work with OEMs, basically, if they once get you in their parts, meaning thereby bill of material, they call it BOM, then as long as that particular model goes on, our 10 long years of experience has shown that they don't change it. It just stays as long as that model works.
Okay. Okay.
And typically, a model works for 5 years.
Sure, sure. So I'm just wondering, in that 500 crore of order book or new orders that you've signed, in which volume basis like 280 crores, which you have announced, there's a fairly good amount of visibility for that in terms of, that kind of flowing through the P&L.
Right.
Yeah. Sure. To just add, hi sir, Sandeep this side. To just add on what Pratis has asked regarding the order book and the revenue and all. If you can highlight on and specifically to the largest car maker in India, like the largest market share in India, that how much we have penetrated in that, because they are still holding a 45% of the market share, and during the IPO time, if I remember it correctly, we had a plan to increase the share from this OEM. Are we able to get the more order from this OEM, and in our 500 crores of order book, whatever we say, how much we are from that OEM, that Maruti, if you can specifically say something about it?
When we started the year we started with the 700 plus crores of open order. Am I right? That's the number we disclosed.
Yeah.
Out of that, definitely Maruti must be having something like, I will say, 20% of the order. I'm making an approximate guess.
And in terms of comparative, how much growth we have from Maruti on a year-on-year basis in terms of order book also, order execution also, any number on that, sir?
See, year-on-year, Maruti orders or per se any OEM order doesn't happen. When, like this one happened in fiscal year 21, not even 22, the Maruti order. Now, that is now designed for 5 years of their consumption. So 2 years have almost, or 1 year definitely has already happened. Second year is going on. What will happen is, hopefully this fiscal year or coming fiscal year, they will float again an RFP for the subsequent 5 years of their contract. For the models that will come later. So whatever they have to decide for the current fiscal year, next fiscal year, they have already decided. And now it all depends on the OEM's own production. And there was some shortages because of the chipsets shortage. The production was lower than what they wanted to sell. So there are some impacts like that. But otherwise, it's a consistent number that anybody will do.
Got it. So what the last order which we have received in FY21, after that, we have not received any order from Maruti. That is the right way to understand?
Yeah, after that, the order, that's what I tried to say. Yes, answer is yes, but you have to understand in the right perspective that they don't need to place order every year. They have placed an order which is valid for 5 years.
Got it. Okay.
But sorry, let me add something. But that it doesn't mean that we won't get any different type of order from Maruti. That is the OEM's car platform. There could be some for digital transformation also. That's an independent thing of the car platform.
I guess, Rakesh ji, Jayesh, what we are trying to understand is that every quarter or every 6 months, I don't know the time period, you give out the orders that you have won. But what about the order book? Because what you won last year and you announced at the beginning of the IPO, you might have executed some large part of those, right? And then there is this new set of orders which have come in March, which you have announced. So what is the order book, which remains unexecuted for next 12, 18 months or 24 months, whatever be the time frame?
We did announce as of 1st of April, the jargon we used was open order. You can use the jargon as order book. They are the same thing. So as of 1st April, we did say that 700 plus order book was there in our books.
Okay, and time frame for implementation of that would be 5 years, 3 years?
On an average, we say that it is a function of 3-4 years.
Okay.
But okay. Then order book that we say in the beginning of the year, remember, it does not include the transaction business. The transaction business I can get every month, we get it, we book the order. That order is recorded in our ERP and gets consumed right away. So that's why you need to look at both the numbers, order book as well as annual orders received during the year.
Exactly my point. I totally agree with you, sir. So basically, we wanted to understand both. So 700 was the order that the book or the order in hand. What about the orders received that you are likely or have already got indications for FY23?
FY22, we had annual order received was 500 plus orders.
500 crore plus.
500 plus. It was okay. 523 or so. Previous to that was 468. Previous to that was 270.
Okay. And what about 23, sir? FY23?
FY23 is just 3 months are going to be over in next 2 days. Okay. Anything will be a prediction.
No. Okay. I get it. So basically the transaction orders are the accumulation of total orders that you get during the year.
Transaction or so let's say in 23, or let's say in 22, Don't catch me with the exact numbers, but I'm just saying during the fiscal year 22, we said that we got 523 annual order book or annual order.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that, maybe 100 crores was an order received and consumed during the year only. So they did not carry forward to the order book.
Perfect. No issues. But the balance 430 got carried forward and it got added to the 700 number that you indicated to us, right?
Yes. Something like that.
Fair enough. Yeah. So, I mean, that's where we were coming from, that during the year, you will receive orders which you will either get implemented in FY23 itself or get carried forwarded to 24 and beyond.
Fair enough.
So the reason why we are harping on or at least dwelling on this issue is that what gives you the visibility for incurring the R&D cost for maintaining the support or the new development for each of these packages of software or the platforms that you have. I guess it's the revenue base which will give you the visibility, and that's where I was coming from, that what is the visibility that you have of cost increases that you can do over the next 2 years or next 3 years?
Good question. Answer is not very simple or straightforward. It depends on the opportunity. First is we have to look at the opportunity. In this fiscal year, we looked at the opportunity of drone. Okay. We felt that we have to add drone as a third pillar for our consistent high growth for the company, because we also see that drone has started opening up and will create a very good size market. Now, drone will have multiple ways. Drone is not just for mapping. Drone can be as a service also, where somebody might use my API also as a platform, just like map. Or drone could be also for we get into drone as a service, meaning thereby I might start delivering through the drone. So right. each one of them will require different type of R&D. Okay.
Right.
How much money to put in the R&D, as you rightly said, one is definitely a function of my revenue visibility. So naturally, if the 700 crores was there, and one, whether it's me or you, either one can figure out what could be the revenue visibility for FY23. Okay. It won't be 1000, it won't be 100, right? It will be a sensible number.
Yeah.
So some okay. So that's the revenue visibility. Then other than R&D, we have other fixed costs, which are I call it as operational costs.
Right.
So once we have that operational costs are pretty well known. I can't change the building rent overnight.
Yeah.
So once we know the revenue visibility and the operational cost, then I am left with the profitability availability.
Offer.
And in that profitability availability, one, we look at, okay, how much I should spend on the new product development, okay? Correct. Without desire I'm talking about, not the strategy. First desire would be, don't impact my EBITDA adversely. Make sure that the EBITDA also has a consistency and PAT also has a consistency. Let's see how much I can use my profitability pool from the profitability with the gap.
Correct.
So that's one way. That is for the organic. There could be inorganic opportunity also.
Right.
Where I look at what kind of cash I have in my bank.
Yeah.
So we have around 400 crores of cash in the bank.
Yep.
Where if I make for the inorganic growth, if I acquire some company which is technology-led or customer, technology-led because we are talking about R&D, then I will be making an investment in that technology which will get amortized or depreciated over the next whatever X number of years.
Yep.
The impact of that on the P&L will not be right away this year. So I will examine that opportunity also. So keeping these are the different ways how a good corporate governance and a business is well managed, rather than give a jerk to the business.
Makes sense, absolute sense, and thank you for elaborating that. I guess so. Where at least I was coming from is that, would you be able to break up your cost base that you have today into what is operational fixed cost and what is a cost which is attributable to R&D, which is much more frugal, in the sense you'll do it if you have visibility, or if you do it if you see an opportunity, which is much, like I said, you know, much more frugal, may or may not do it, or do it or increase or decrease depending on the opportunity. So would there be a broad range that you could suggest?
See, they get so much mixed up that we can give a color to it, but not in the accounting books so much. In the financial statement, because financial statements are governed by a lot by the accounting standards and the auditor's whims and fancy also. Giving a color, saying that, okay, I'll give you one simple example, that, okay, this financial year, we want to spend a total of 100 crores towards all the activities I had described. I will pick up 50 crores from my surplus cash of 400 crores. And I'm within the fixed cost of, let's say, 150 crores, just as an example, I'm using actually 50 crores for my R&D. Okay. When I say R&D, remember also, it can be shown as, if I'm able to create a product, not R&D, a product which is called intangible asset, then I am able to call it as intangible asset, and my expenses go down because they are capitalized. So all these things have to meet the standards of accounting system. But separately as an MIS, I can always speak.
Fair enough. So, no, I guess where again, you know, I'm trying to understand is there a broad ballpark fixed cost that you have in the business, which and a growth of that, which you need to ensure that you at least meet, and the rest of the cost is a frugal or subjective. Would that be a 100 crore number or a 50 crore number, you know, a certain set of operating employees, certain set of operating structure, etc.
When I look at, again, the sales, marketing, general and administrative expenses, if you remove one item called advertising or business promotion,
right.
The rest are pretty much really fixed. I have to incur them for my normal without growth or with growth activity.
Understood.
The advertising is a one which we will always play with. That one, why am I wanting to advertise? What is the reason? Because advertising can run into a large number also.
Yeah. So
then there has to be just like R&D can run also into large numbers if I start getting a lot of inorganic growth, acquisition. So all these things, we look at it from the eyes of the way you described, or I said, is look at the bigger picture. And look at the next 3 to 4 years of picture, not just look at this year's picture.
Understand. What about employee costs, sir? If you were to break that up into R&D related employee cost and those related to new product development, etc., and those related to normal maintenance?
See, the employee costs, we are able to break up into two parts very clearly. One is that sales, marketing, G&A. Okay.
Right.
And the other is technical. The technical one is separated out into two parts. The R&D and the product development and the operational.
Right.
And so other than the fact that if you are going for any inorganic growth and just buying out something, the R&D is fundamentally people cost.
Yes, that's right.
It's fundamentally people cost. So I will say that major chunk of our technical fixed cost comes is dedicated to the R&D and the new product development.
Excellent. And that would be what, at least 40-50% of the total employee cost? Rough cut?
Well, I have not don't have the number on my fingertips, but sales, marketing, G&A also consumes a lot because that's where the business comes from. So I will say, yeah, maybe say how much was my employee cost last year? Was something of the order of 65 crores last year. If I remember correctly, okay?
Yeah, that, 57 crores.
Something of that. I don't know where I get 65, where it comes 57. It might, whatever. Let's say 60 for discussion. So that definitely will go up. Actual employee cost from 60 definitely will go up to 80, 90, let's say, definitely this year.
Sure.
But then a lot of that chunk will go towards R&D and new product development. So in the books, you might find some of them going as intangible assets, and hence it will not appear like 80. It might appear as 70 only. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Even if I actually make a payroll of 80 crores, but if the 10 crores is used for creating new product, which goes as intangible assets, the financial books will show you 70 only.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand that totally, sir. We are finance guys. We understand only all this nonsense.
So I'm also explaining to a finance guy only.
I guess the question was, of the 60 crores that you incurred last year, would large chunk be R&D or would the split between operational maintenance expenses, employee expenses, and
While there might have, out of 60, 10 might have been into the R&D types, but we did not separate it out last year. Okay, we did not create any intangible assets. We did not burden the coming years with the expense liability, because the moment you put it in intangible assets, you are creating a liability for the future generation, if I call it.
Yes, it is. So final question would be this frugal R&D expenses, that number would dramatically go up in the next few years, right? In the sense,
I will not say dramatically. See, we have been doing the R&D historically. R&D expense has been there, so there's nothing going to be dramatic. So if, as I said, out of 60 last year, 5-10 must have been spent in the new product development and R&D organically. So it's not going to jump from 10 to 30 or anything like that. No, we don't. We have a culture that even every play in technical area, everybody works towards creating new stuff, because once something is done, operational costs are not that heavy.
Understand. Exactly our point. Yeah, that's right. I agree with you. Okay. And on revenue side, in the meeting that we had, you were suggesting some visibility the growth CAGR. If I were to take a 3-year view, what kind of a range are you comfortable with? Would a 25-35% range of top line is more comfortable, or you think it is lower or higher?
We accomplished 30% last year, correct?
That's right.
Okay. Now, from this and that was this year. I must tell you right now, you will see that what we have done is the IoT part of the business. We are now of MapMyIndia, which was already there in the standalone before, right? We are trying to move it to the Gtropy, which is our acquired company. So actually, our standalone, now the new, from this year, the consolidated should be looked at more carefully. Consolidated is practically a standalone. Because as I said, we have three technology pillars. map, yes. IoT and drone. To run the business efficiently, we have created this separate company for IoT. Okay? To run the drone business, we might create a separate company. Okay?
Okay.
So our standalone concept of before should not get mixed up with the original standalone, yeah. which we should always look at the consolidated rather than standalone.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I was referring to consolidated only, that over the next 3 years, would you be comfortable with the growth that we saw last year on a consolidated basis? Or you'd see higher or lower or any range that you think it's realistically possible considering the current environment and the visibility that you have? And I'm not asking you for 1 year, I'm asking you for 3 years.
We definitely, as I said in the beginning also, that we want to keep growing consistently on the higher side rather than having any big spikes or big fall. So if last year the growth was 30%, then consistently growing on the higher side definitely should be more than 30%, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not yeah, lower than that. But how much more? Because let's say if we achieve 40%, just for example, then the next year we would like to achieve more than 40%.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that gives a very balanced work environment in the company where people work on a long term rather than trying to keep this year and that year making jerk. I think I have answered your question. You guys are financial guys and intelligent enough to read my lips.
We're very good at making estimates, you know, Excel sheets, very, very, very good at it. In fact, we have experts at our end.
And second thing I must say that while we have done well this quarter also, but we should never be measured on a quarter by quarter kind of a thing. That would be a disaster. So always see the trend, how the things are happening, and year end is the actual result which matters.
Absolutely. No, I guess where I was coming from is that, in this environment, 30% growth is itself a very, very good number. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
I know you in the meeting also you suggested that don't look at quarterly. That's why I give you a 3 year. I was asking you for 3 years. So what I'm hearing from you, and maybe you can give me an affirmation or otherwise, that a 30% CAGR on a top line for next 3 years is something that you are fairly comfortable, that visibility exists, that you can achieve that.
There's no reason why we should not. Okay.
Wonderful.
There's no reason. And there's no reason why we should not achieve better than that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this is really, very helpful. Yeah.
But you must know that it can be quite better than that, or if something like pandemic or something like that thing happens, nobody has control over.
Yeah, nobody has control. You are absolutely right, sir. And these things keep on happening all the time. I'm actually done with my question, but I'll leave it to my colleagues, Pritesh, Sandeep, if you guys have more.
Yeah, maybe just one last one, sir. I mean, I'm
maybe 5 more minutes.
We'll wrap up in 2-3 minutes. Yeah. So just on the opportunity on the non-auto side, I mean, this is a large opportunity. I'm just wondering from an organization perspective, what are you doing to, you know, capture that in the sense of, you know, investment in sales, people to kind of, you know, to, because this can be highly fragmented also. I'm just thinking it can be fragmented also, right, in terms of so many startups or want to offer this?
Yeah, you are right. See, in the map area, we have pretty much taken the leadership. So market is quite consolidated. And as the market is growing, we are getting a direct high benefit of that. But IoT is a very fragmented market. at drone, there's a lot of startups who have come already. So good thing for us in drone is at least we are there from the beginning. In IoT, we came late. So the whole idea, your question is more on fragmented market. How do
from your organization perspective, because
we have kept it very clean, and that's why I was telling you about the different companies. IoT is a separate company now. What is the Gtropy? When I say IoT is a separate company, means IoT business also goes there. Similarly, my drone business will also happen in a separate company, so that we can measure. And separate company means there has to be a leader at the level of CEO. Okay, so both of them we are earmarked with two different CEOs who are working under. Overall working under me and Rohan, that's a different matter, but then they have a complete P&L responsibility. The map part of it, which is more on the automotive and the corporate is also quite fragmented in the sense, corporate is very large. So it's like, you know, wherever our guys go and touch, there's a high possibility that they get the business. Okay. Some definitely we don't get, like still we haven't gotten these two, Zomato and Swiggy, but that's okay. But we are still hopeful that one day we will get it. So the point is all these four areas, corporate, automotive, the IoT and the drone, all those four areas are well serviced by our four top leadership.
Okay, sure. Fair enough. Yeah. I think we'll close. I think you have another call lined up. So
yeah,
sure. Thank you so much. Thanks for the time.
And thank you.
Helpful.
Yeah.
All the very best.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Shri.